The python population has already made a massive dent on the Everglades ecosystem, killing off 99% of the fur-bearing population. The invasive species is so dangerous to the indigenous inhabitants that, as we've covered on this program, there's a team of hunters attempting to eradicate them from the region. It's a slow process, but those hunters could have an even greater challenge on their hands. New research from the U.S. Geological Survey finds that beyond the Burmese python that have been well reported in the media, there now may exist a hybrid population, a mix of two pythons, the Indian and the Burmese. It's possible this hybrid snake could be more adept in the Everglades than either of the snakes that came before it. So basically, maybe a super snake? Margaret Hunter is a research geneticist for the USGS and was the lead author on the new report. She joins us now from the studios of WUFT in Gainesville. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, great to be here.
And I want to point out, too, by the way, in the billboard, I mentioned that you were with UF, you are with the USGS, so I just wanted to correct that. A hybrid snake. Okay, we're already kind of freaked out a little bit, but please explain, because this is a thesis. It's an idea. We don't know yet, right?
Well, we do see some signs of inbreeding. However, we don't know exactly when that inbreeding took place. The genetic analyses really indicate that that was more in the past than occurring directly in the Everglades right now. However, more research needs to be done to test this.
Okay. So, I mean, we talk about this hybrid, this inbreeding. What are we talking about here? I mean, is it going to create some kind of big super snake? I know we keep saying that, but it actually could have advantages and disadvantages from the two that I mentioned.
Yeah, so we did not test for any type of super snake. What we did find, though, was a very small portion of the 400 Burmese pythons that we tested. A small portion of their genome did identify as the Indian python. And so it is a hypothesis that because they have that small portion of genetic material, they could use that genetic material to then potentially adapt to habitats that the Indian python might be better adapted to. However, as I said, we did not test that, and so, you know, that's yet to be seen, although that's something that would be interesting to look into.
Is this kind of like evolution, basically? I mean, is that what we're watching right now?
Yeah, so all of these invasive species and populations, as they move into these non-native ranges, we're watching them adapt to these novel environments, and it's really happening right before our eyes. So it's, while we're trying to do the best we can for conservation and management, from the genetic standpoint, it's quite interesting to see how rapidly they really can adapt to these new environments.
So as you're doing this this research, I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you were looking for exactly and what have you found? You did tell me a little bit about that just a moment ago.
Yeah, so we started out the research not expecting to find any type of interbreeding. We were more interested in identifying the genetic patterns of the Burmese python across the landscape to try to provide information for conservation or management decisions to indicate, are there distinct groups that might be breeding within the landscape? And then also to provide some information on the invasion pathway. So those early invasion dynamics, how did that look? And, you know, did they all come from a single population or from different populations to try to inform not only management of the Burmese python, but potentially other invasives as they continue to come into our landscapes?
Let's get an understanding of the difference between the Indian python and the Burmese python, because they can both adapt to different habitats, correct?
Yeah, so these two species, really more information is needed in the native range. And so we don't have a huge amount of information, but we do see that the Burmese python tends to be more in the wetter environments, and the Indian pythons tend to be more throughout India in the drier upland habitats.
And so that's why I guess there's this concern that, oh my gosh, if these things can actually breed and give us a hybrid of a snake, that snake could then live anywhere.
Yeah, that is a potential. However, we do see these Burmese pythons in different habitats already, and that might just be because of their rapid evolution and adaptation that they're undergoing as they're invading Florida, which is a new environment. And so they already could be undergoing this evolution without the aid of the Indian python genetic material, but that could help that along.
How much do we know about the python and you know how it got into Florida, but really how it's adapted to Florida and what problems it's causing?
Yeah, so I'm a geneticist, so I'm not really down in the Everglades working directly with these snakes. I have some fabulous collaborators and partners that help me, you know, supply me with these genetic samples. But we do believe the Burmese python was established or was beginning to come into Florida in the mid-80s. And then from there, the population continued to increase. And the point of establishment is really in the deep Everglades in South Florida.
But my understanding is that some of your research might help us understand, because one of the tricks is we've been trying to figure out how many pythons are in Florida, especially the Everglades. And maybe your research might help us actually get a number on that, right?
Right. So a lot of these genetic analyses, we conduct many different statistical tests using some pretty complicated genetic theory. And one of those tests provides an effective population number. And in most populations, this is related to about 10% of the population. So we could look at the number that we've calculated today and then look at it, you know, in 10 years or many generations into the future, and we can try to identify how rapidly that number is increasing. It does not provide us any census size, so we can't say that it equates to 10% of the population. We can just use it as a proxy, as a relative number to look at population growth.
I'm talking with USGS researcher Margaret Hunter. She's the author of a new report about the pythons in the Everglades. Hunter found a small percentage of pythons living in the Everglades may be a hybrid of the Indian and Burmese. And, well, we're asking the question, what does that mean exactly? And are we talking about a new type of snake that might come out of this? A little bit more about your research, Margaret. I was curious, too, is like, you know, what kind of samples you're looking at. And reading in some of the stuff is that you're just taking parts of the snake to get more information about, you know, where they are, what they're doing, what they are.
Yeah, so we can just take a very small portion of the tail tissue that we then use for DNA extraction and genetic analysis. I can also use the shed skin, too, provides quite good DNA. So lots of different tissues can provide the material we need for these analyses.
You know, as a researcher, I wonder if you have a personal opinion about just the fact that this is an invasive species. As we've mentioned many times, I mean, it has, you know, really, I'll not say eradicated, but it has really put a massive dent in other species that live in the area. And now we're trying to either eradicate them or at least control their population. But I mean, as a researcher, how do you feel about all of that? Or do you keep a distance and say, nope, I'm just doing the research?
Yeah, so I am trying to be, you know, very careful in any kind of analyses I can conduct, just looking at them merely from the scientific standpoint. However, this is interesting in that we do see this hybridization and the potential for increased adaptation in these invasive species. And I think this case really highlights the need for us to, you know, really ensure that we're protecting our natural environments as much as we can. The pythons have become quite prolific and have done quite a bit of damage to our ecosystems in South Florida. And we want to, moving forward, really try to limit any other types of invasive species that could cause similar damage. So making sure that those invasive species aren't released into the environment.
All right. Something else I gathered from your research that I found really fascinating was the fact that you're testing water. This may help us understand the python a little bit better, also maybe how to find them. But what exactly are you doing?
Yeah, so this is a relatively new test that's come out in the field, and this is called environmental DNA, or eDNA. And we can simply take a water bottle and collect water throughout South Florida, and from very specialized tests that I've developed, we can detect a single copy of Burmese python DNA in that water if we've collected it when we've gone out into the environment.
Wait, what does that mean exactly?
So that means that a python has been in the area, and we don't have an exact, you know, date or time, but relatively within the last week or 2 weeks, a python has gone through that area and has shed some DNA, either through skin or saliva or through waste products. Cells are lost, you know, all the time. Humans actually shed, you know, millions of skin cells a day. So it's not surprising that we can pick up this DNA in the environment to use it to detect invasive species.
Does that mean that we could just test the water to figure out where pythons are moving around to and how to find them?
Yes, so we have done that. We come across a lot of challenges with this method. First, logistically, it's challenging to go out and survey the Everglades. And I'm using extremely sensitive equipment. This is very state-of-the-art equipment. So the processing can be quite expensive and time-consuming. But we have gone out and successfully detected Burmese pythons throughout South Florida. And we are trying to get a better handle on some of the northern invasion fronts by collecting water samples.
So from the samples that you do have, what can you tell us about, I mean, the snake's movements, migrations, perhaps? What do we know?
Yeah, so this method does not allow us to identify the number of snakes, so we cannot calculate the abundance. And so I'm not able to fully decide if the region has been colonized, but I can calculate some statistical methods to be able to detect whether it's a highly occupied area. And that can give us some information as to, yes, we believe, and taking samples over time, we believe that certain areas are indeed now colonized by these snakes.
And do you have a sense of what some of those areas are? I mean, do we know those areas, and are we, I guess, really attacking those areas hard?
So it's very hard to remove these snakes. I know we have some really great folks out there that are trying to remove them. But a lot of these regions where the snakes are very hard to get to logistically, like I mentioned. I do have some positive detections sort of north of Fort Lauderdale, north of Davie, and there also have been some sightings of live snakes there too. So, we haven't directly worked with any of the people that are removing these snakes, but it is known that there are snakes up along that portion of the state.
How much more research or how much more time are you going to spend on this research, and what do you think, what else you might find?
Yeah, so we are hoping to continue investigating this potential interbreeding between the Burmese python and the Indian python. We need potentially some additional samples and to continue to investigate further into the genome, how interbred they are. And additionally, with environmental DNA, we are continuing to try to get a better handle on that northern range limit of where the eDNA is found.
So I come back again to this idea because, you know, in the public, we may hear that and say, oh my gosh, now we're just going to see some bigger, more dangerous snake or a new breed of snake that's going to cause more problems. But I mean, how should we be viewing this?
I think we still need to do more testing to really understand if this is going to improve the adaptation. At this point, I don't think it's necessarily going to change anything as far as we need to manage these snakes. I think we need to continue to look for them in all environments. Maybe we do need to look in more of an upland area and a drier habitats where they could be found. And I think we just need to continue to try to limit the release of any type of pets that could provide additional diversity, which allows for increased adaptation.
And just real briefly, in a short time, what role has climate change played in your research and maybe how it's affecting the python?
So I haven't really looked at that directly, so I can't really speak to it. Potentially, it could be helping them to continue to invade Florida, but I can't speak to that directly.
All right. Still a fascinating story. Interesting research. Just wondering what's going to happen next. USGS researcher Margaret Hunter, again, author of a new report looking at the python population in the Everglades. And is there a chance that perhaps the Indian and Burmese python are interbreeding? And what would that mean? Margaret, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.